Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Reason to scowl.
Reason to bitch.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, Dawson's Creek. Today's episode is Season 2, Episode 7, The All-Nighter. And now, here are your hosts,
Tara Aranio and Sarah D. Bunting.
Hello, Sarah.
Hello.
Hello, listeners. Before we get into this episode, we want to tell you what's happening on our Patreon. Again with this, episode 204 is going to be dropping August 16th. Let's watch Heather Locklear in Scrubs. That's season 2, episode 8, My Fruit Cups. It's on Hulu. I'm curious to see how mad Sarah gets about this one getting assigned to her. I think it's going to be okay. So you can join us there if you haven't already. Again with this podcast.com/club. Any level of support gets you that episode and all of the regular Friday episodes that we do for each month. All right, let's get into this episode. Really just the one plot line that we can't untangle. And it is a purity test ruins lives.
I just also didn't we kind of do this with detention last season? I think they sometimes forget that that season actually aired and was not just a test,
well,
as it were.
The fact that they had, yes, the fact that last week's episode is the dance after we already had dance in season one does suggest people were not off book. But anyway, we come out of the previouslys to clip two.
Think about it. I mean, there's not a single dramatic storyline in existence that Shakespeare didn't conquer first.
Wow. Shakespeare is going to be so happy to find out he's been endorsed by fucking Dawson. What a feather in his old-timey cap. He is watching the Elizabeth Taylor, Richard Burton version of Taming of the Shrews. He lectures on, and then the camera pans over VHS copies of Terms of Endearment and Brian's Song. And clip three.
And what was his parting lesson? And what genre of all genres did he finally arrive at after years of toil and sacrifice? Tragedy.
Okay, this is not accurate. Also, very easy to research. Julius Caesar comes roughly in the middle of Shakespeare's career. Several more comedies follow it, including Merry Wives of Windsor, Twelfth Night, and Measure for Measure. But never mind, because it's at this point the camera stops panning. And shows us that since the big breakup in the last episode, the woman who now has to be on the receiving end of Dawson's bullshit because she can't think of anything better to do is Gail, who is sniffling tearfully. Clip four.
What a sad movie.
Mom, you cried at the commercials.
Only that cotton commercial.
That made me laugh. That was good.
Yeah, me too.
Because remember, at this time, the cotton commercials really were like, they did not have to go that hard. And they did.
No. They did. 110%. Sniff.
Ugh. Anyway, Dawson chirps that Gail has to do something about her melancholy because he's concerned about her. And from under her pile of used Kleenex, Gail says she's concerned about him because he hasn't wallowed. He doesn't know what good that would do since wallowing doesn't get someone back. But Gail says it's not about the other person at all. It's about learning the advantages of being the one who got dumped, eating junk food, listening to country music, writing bad, bitter poetry, scowling, bitching, etc. All the pain that touches you makes you a deeper person, she says, which I think is a terrible lesson for a narcissist like Dawson to learn at this early age and then use against people later in life. But no one asked me.
Yeah.
He surmises that breakups don't get easier, and Gail sadly smiles that they don't. You just go to bed earlier, which she then does, leaving Dawson to put on another movie, look sadly out the window, and have some licorice. And after the credits, a Mr. Peterson is trying to freak everyone out about their English midterm. And when I say everyone, that's what I mean. Students in this class include all of the opening credits kids plus Andy, not Jack, who is conveniently and then strangely not in this episode at all, except for his moment in the previouslys. And I gather it's because perhaps this character was like in a transitional phase and they didn't want to include him in the purity test business because they weren't sure what his deal was totally yet.
Okay.
Or for story reasons, like they just couldn't understand how to integrate him with everyone else. Like if he was also there, Dawson wouldn't go and then there wouldn't be a story, you know?
Right. The whole this is a midlife crisis thing and not a teenager thing aspect of Dawson and Joey aside, mm-hmm. at least they thought through that Jack would not be, that would like not allow the contrivance to continue.
Yes.
I feel like this is something that we asked about repeatedly in our recaps contemporaneous to the show airing, just being like, so are they twins? Because
right.
no one mentioned that. So since oh, they're yeah, not, right. is Jack older?
That too.
Is this a, yeah.
I didn't even think about that part. In my mind, it was just like, yeah, they're Brenda and Brandon 2.0. But yeah, you're yeah. right. We don't know what grade
Which
he's
I'm
in.
Sure was the concept, but, and I, it's probably giving them too much credit in the writer's room since they are unable to write different dialogue for anyone. Mm-hmm. Like, the 10-year-old we're about to meet,
yeah.
all the kids, and Gail, mm-hmm. same overblown dialogue that's like kind of not understanding how these 50-cent words are used.
Yes.
It's all the same. So I don't think that same writer's room is like, yeah, we should, if we want to do different things with Jack romantically,
mm-hmm.
we should pull him off the board for right now until we figure it out. Like, I don't think it was that complicated. I think they may have just run out of money. Couldn't pay both McPhees. I don't know.
Yeah. I think it's less likely the first thing I said and more the second, where it's like, if we add him to this, a bunch of other stuff falls over. So let's just pretend
yeah.
he doesn't exist for now.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Other than as the person who kissed Joey and made them break up. Anyway, I guess he's hanging out with Abby because she's not in this episode either. As Peterson paces the rose, Dawson's stuff is in the way and Joey leans down to move it. Dawson snatches it away, not meeting her eyes while she looks wounded. And Jason Bear, not yet playing Max Evans on Roswell because it isn't going to premiere until the next fall, throws a balled up note onto Jen's desk that reads, "Don't forget to smile," even though he's looking at the back of her head. But she does look back, smiling, not sarcastically. When everyone's leaving after class, Joey pulls a Dawson, following him too close and hectoring that they're going to have to talk to each other sometime. Dawson tells her to go away. She wanted space, and he is giving it to her. And it's right around here that we see this is the first of the 10 episodes on which Greg, damn you, Berlanti, is the credited writer. Joey didn't think they would stop communicating entirely, and when Dawson's like, "What did you think it would mean?" I'm annoyed because I agree with him, and not for the first time this episode, and that annoys me even more.
Oh, yeah. No, my notes say, and I quote, "Dawson making, alas, a good point," and then I put a frowny face, but, you know.
Yeah. Joey snaps that this isn't fair. Dawson yells back that she can't make up all the rules, and then they're fighting in the middle of the crowd again, and Dawson notices and stalks off. Go over to the cafeteria where Paisley's just trying to complain about the bad fries when Andy asks if he has ever been in a menage a trois. He jokes about her non sequitur, but she's just reading from Vince Munt's Jane. And to our younger viewers, this was a print magazine named for its founding editor, Jane Pratt, formerly of Sassy Magazine. For more on that, go to our sister podcast, Listen to Sassy, which is the reason that I collect Jane. And went straight to my archive because I thought that was a bit much for them at the time. And then I pulled out the August 1998 issue, which I can imagine might have been in the writer's room when Berlanti was working on this episode. And joke's on me, our writer cuddles up to group sex is right there on Liv Tyler's forearm. For more on Liv Tyler, you can Google her too. Back to the show. Pacey comments that chick magazines are racier than Playboy, which yes and no. I see where he's going with it. He does know Cosmo, after all.
Mm.
And where Andy's copy of Jane departs from mine is that it contains a purity test, which I really think was just an internet phenomenon. But Andy explains. Clip 5.
An assortment of sexual questions that, when totaled, are meant to gauge your level of sexual experience.
Okie dokie. It's time to put that away now.
Why? It's fun.
Gauging our level of sexual expertise is not really my idea of joy abounding.
I don't think I don't know where this is going, Pacey Witter. I know your history.
You do?
Sure. You're a typical guy. You want everyone to think that you have this unseemly, adventurous, sexual existence, when in fact, your purity level is probably closer to Big Bird's than Bill Clinton's.
Yeah, you know what? You got me. That's me, Mr. Embarrassingly Pure.
Big Bird?
Big Bird's supposed to be a kid. That's gross.
Yeah. Ooh, damn you, Berlanti. Jesus.
But also, I mean, this is going to come to a head, no pun intended, later. But it's again, annoying that we don't know how scandalous this scandal was, because in real life, this would have been something she heard about on day one at the school if it had been as Pacey describes it.
No, someone would have met them at the edge of town.
Right.
With like a handout.
She asks if Pacey is going to join Peterson's Kramarama. Pacey doesn't care how he does on the exam, but he does care about Andy, so he reluctantly agrees to go. And then we're on the track. Chris, the Jason Bear character, is showing off his shaved chest and necklace, which you can see in the visual aids. Sorry. As Jen stretches before a run, something I'm afraid I don't believe this character does, and she's not in like a gym uniform either, so this is supposed to be her on her own time, and I don't buy it.
Oh, I didn't. I mean, she looked like she was wearing enough phys ed-y clothes enough. Mm. Like, at least at my high school, you just wore whatever once you were in high school. Gym clothes, you didn't have to wear like school issue.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God, because our colors are green and gold and it was not cute. But anyway, I just assumed that she was there like as part of some phys ed unit.
I will allow it then.
Yeah.
Well, that's right. We do know she is taking gym this season because she lied that she had cramps and then she had to pick up towels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Chris offers to be Jen's pacer since he knows when to speed up and when to slow down.
Oh, fuck's sake.
She rhetorically asks if he knows when to leave someone alone. He talks at her like, as Sarah was saying earlier, every other fucking character on this show, Clip 6.
Jen, is there a particular reason why you're not receptive to my wily charms?
Other than the fact that you emit them regularly to any skirt within a 6-mile radius?
I actually have a car, so it's more like a tri-state area. Uh-huh. A smile. Mission accomplished.
Ugh, barf.
What 3 states are you thinking? Because it's a 2-hour drive to any state line from the Cape. Sure. Well, actually, that's not true. Could be half an hour. Still, shut up. Also, that's not how emit is used.
Mm-mm.
Shut up.
Mm-hmm.
Also, this actor played a character early in season 1 of Buffy who decided that he wanted to live forever as a vampire and then got staked and we didn't have to deal with him again. I miss those days. Ford. He's so bad. I mean, I get it. I get why he kept getting cast on WB stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He is the quintessential WB quote actor.
Yeah.
Oh, he's so gross. This character is just so gross, but mm-hmm. not even like gross in an interesting way. It's just like, oh, fine.
Yeah.
Let's just get you over with.
He's clearly aiming for like James Spader's Steph. Like, that's mm-hmm. the level, and it's like, you are not fit to touch the hem of his garment, so stop it.
More like the geek, but sure.
So Jen has just dismissed Chris when Dawson rolls up and makes a snide remark about the hawk circling, but Jen says Chris was just being cute, which she thinks he is. Dawson warns her about Chris's love him and leave him rap sheet, and Jen tells him to relax. She also isn't planning to go to the study session until she sees Chris hitting on another girl and realizes she's not going to be hooking up with Romeo, so she might as well. But then the study group, which Peterson was going to have run himself after school, unfortunately has been canceled because he has a cold. But his note, which he took the time to type, assures the readers that the test is still on tomorrow. One extra is really dismayed about this change of plan, possibly because he's in the 10th grade for the 13th time. As you can see in the visual aids, this guy is God, elderly.
Hairline in major retreat.
Chris offers to host a non-sanctioned study session at his place since his parents are out of town. Jen's dubious until he says she can invite her friends. Andy was going to go to the library, but Pacey says that Chris's house is sick. They've got a satellite dish. Jen can't resist and even takes Chris's arm like they're walking down the aisle as attendants at a wedding. It's weird.
Yeah, what was that? Very weird.
Do not know. Outside, Andy asks Joey to come. Joey thinks she'll get more done at home with the loud crying baby, but Andy promises to keep everyone on track. But oh no, Pacey's asking Dawson, not knowing Joey's also going until they see each other in Chris's car. Oh, the awkward situation. And then after the break, we're at Chris's house, an obviously new build on a lot with no mature trees, no shade, mm-hmm. but literally no shade. He points mm-hmm. out where the TV, jacuzzi, sauna, spare swimsuits, and kitchen are. And Joey mutters about his priorities. Andy insists she's in complete control. And also present behind an issue of YM is Chris's tween sister, Dina. Big issue for print, or big episode for print magazines, by the way. It's the mm-hmm. October 1998 issue. The cover boy is the musical artist Mace with a dollar sign photographed mm-hmm. with a model wrapped around him. Fun fact, the model on the cover of the September 1998 issue of YM was Katie Holmes. Chris announces that Dean is going to stay out of the way, which she does not confirm. Andy has a detailed plan of attack, but unfortunately, Pacey's already channel surfing. Andy orders him to help her keep Chris on task because she's not equipped to do that with Chris and Pacey. Her plan includes 15-minute breaks. It'll get them through all of the material by midnight. Everyone seems appropriately alarmed. Chris changes the subject to pizza. And as half the group leaves, Pacey tells Andy to think of this as 7 15-minute breaks strung together. Cute. Chris chooses a bottle from the wine rack. Jen's impressed they're getting to know each other without sexual overtones, although obviously choosing a bottle of wine is part of his whole fucking rap.
Yeah.
And not subtly. Chris is bothered that she mm-mm. assumes the worst about him when the opposite is not true of his assumptions about her. He would expect Jen to notice they're a lot alike, reputations are bullshit, and you have to put in effort to get to know someone. And Jen puts her hand out to shake on that, but he makes it horny, saying he's not ready to let go. After dark, Andy's running her review in game show lightning round form. Chris tries to be sexy, but quotes the wrong poem. Pacey tries to be funny by quoting Green Eggs and Ham. The answer Andy's looking for is Keats. Joey gets it right. Clip 7.
For an additional 100 points, can you give us his most famous quote? Okay, come on.
Beauty is truth. Truth, beauty.
He's right. I forgot.
It seems so.
Ugh. Shut up.
Shut up, asshole.
He is staring at her so creepily during this, too. It's like, one of you go home. I'm going to keep saying this. Like, you don't have to do this.
And I'm pretty sure in whoever recapped this was like, how has the entire lot and everyone in it not been leveled by the flaring of nostrils, which only gets worse from here?
This brings the room down and clip 8.
Ooh, maybe we should hit that hot tub. What do you think? Chill out a little bit.
That was really just for the soundboard, even though Jason Bear pronounces it like half tub and no one lets him have another take.
And also, that hot tub? You live here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Andy snits they've been fucking around for 2 hours and now they need to focus. And that's when Jane notices Andy's copy of Jane and we actually see a little bit of the cover. And here it is on my desk. It's the October 98 issue. It doesn't have a cover line, anything like "How pure are you?" as Jen pretends to read. It does have Janet Jackson and a Gwyneth Paltrow feature. Two icons still with us.
And a big, sexy and cheap headline, which I assume is about fashion and not about Janet.
Yes.
Excuse me, Miss Jackson.
Well, you are nasty. Andy frets mm-hmm. while the issue gets passed around and orders them not to take the test. And since that doesn't work, she decides to manage the test taking. And again, I'm going to keep saying all the ways she's losing control. If she were real, she would have left hours ago. But having not done that, she would just proctor the test herself. But since this is for a TV show, she says they're going to pass it around and take turns asking the questions. Not efficient. Everyone's going to have to slow down and find their place. Mm-hmm. These idiots are also just writing their answers on loose sheets of paper, awkwardly held against their bumpy laps. Has it actually been this long since any of these actors other than Meredith Monroe was in school? Get a book!
Yeah. Yeah. Your pen is immediately going through that paper.
Yes!
Come on.
Onto your pants!
So annoying. Yeah.
James Vanderbeek also holds his pen real weird, as you can see in the visual aids as well.
Yeah, it's not a cigarette, Jimmy.
Here we go. Weird. Supposedly, the first question is, have you ever been intimately aroused by a relative? So I found the original purity test from the internet at the time. It's linked in the show notes, the Rice, as in Rice University, purity test. Mm-hmm. Like the one supposedly in the magazine, it also has 100 questions, but it starts with, like, have you held hands romantically, and then ramps up from there. It doesn't start at, like, 0 to 60. More questions. Have you experimented with bondage, fucked in public, caught your parents having sex, named your genitals, etc.? A version of had sex with a four-legged creature is the last question on the Rice test, not in the middle like it is here. Have you ever fantasized about a friend's significant other? Shuts everyone up. This test's 100 is, have you ever been in love? And you get a point for each instance. And Joey has to read that one while Dawson once again stares at her creepily. And when she goes to the kitchen, he follows her and ignores her when she says she doesn't want to talk about it. He seems to think that her expression at that question indicated that she's still in love with him. She reminds him that she wanted space and tells him to respect that, stalking out again. But someone's been eavesdropping. Clip 9.
Issues. Dawson, right? Dina Wolf here, in case you didn't remember.
Dina, do you know where the coffee is?
Yeah, drip or instant?
Drip.
Appropriate.
MVP!
Dina! 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 So good. I may have run that back 6 or 7 dozen times. Appropriate. Mm-hmm.
She asks the details of Dawson's little love affair, but he doesn't want to talk about it. Dina gets closer and says people like the two of them don't need to talk. They can say everything they need to with a look. Now, where was the drip energy? It dissipated so fast. Bring that girl back.
Yeah, really.
In the next room, Andy's reading everyone's scores. Chris was in last place with 66. Jen is second with 69. Nice.
Nice.
Joey and Dawson are, of course, tied at 85. Andy has a 92, and then she realizes she didn't get Pacey's test back and demands that he hand it over. He refuses, and clip 10.
You dog. Well, this wouldn't have anything to do with question number 16.
16? I don't get it.
Yeah, well, we blew right past it, but I think we should read it again aloud. What do you say, Pace?
Chris, stop it.
Oh, no, come on. I'm dying to know. What'd you put for 16, Witter? Let's just put an old room to rest right now.
You know, Chris, is there anything redeeming about you other than your house?
Ouch.
Okay, will someone please tell me what you guys are talking about?
Okay, I'll look it up myself. 16.
Okay. Have you ever had sex with someone twice your age?
Oh, it's a joke, right?
Well, it's true after all. Witter laid the pipe with Miss Jacobs. I don't know whether to congratulate you or fall off my chair.
Miss Jacobs, teacher who left Cape Side. Pacey, you said that you were embarrassingly pure. Those were your words, right?
Well, finally, at least she knows.
Yeah. Please let the ripples from this stop rippling. Mm-hmm. I'm so sick of the way the show frames this.
Ugh. Yeah, I agree. This is also, as we've said, like a way more laborious way for the truth to come out than the reality, which is it would have gotten around. It would be common gossip.
Yeah. She would have heard about it 17 times just in the girls' room at school.
I mean, at this point, the internet exists. It's possible she would have heard about it from Rhode Island when it happened, honestly.
Yeah. Also, you'll just never guess how much support Pacey gets from Dawson in this revealing and uncomfortable moment involving a felony.
Dawson, his worst friend? Yeah.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
After the commercial, Dawson is out by the hot tub looking for Pacey and Andy while Chris readies his seduction scene for Jen with a tray of wine and glasses. Chris says Andy and Pacey are definitely somewhere boning because makeup sex is the best kind. Dawson mopes that he wouldn't know, which, like, why would you even bother handing that to the school's biggest coxman? Like, he knows you haven't had sex.
Yeah. Yeah. Everyone knows.
Chris says that the way Dawson and Joey are going at it. He's sure they're headed for makeup sex too. And then he shifts the vibe by asking Jen's ex if it seems like she likes him. Clip 11.
Well, you never have had much trouble attracting the opposite sex, Chris.
Jen's different. She's too with it. Closing the deal requires a completely different strategy.
You mean sleeping with her?
No, I mean a heavy game of Uno.
It's not gonna happen.
We'll see.
You know, Chris, Jen is in this really weird, kind of vulnerable state right now, all right? Don't take advantage of that.
Relax. We won't do anything she's not looking forward to.
We'll see.
If it's proof you need.
You see that light up there in the guest house? When that light's off, that means I'm inside.
With Jen. Lowering both our purity levels. And you? You'll be out here. Alone.
Yeah, because teenage boys who are getting it in, and who are known for getting it in, definitely care what a flappy virgin like Dawson thinks.
Give
me a fucking break!
I know. And Berlanti, we see what you're doing with that. That means I'm inside with Jen. Like,
with
no.
Jen.
Don't.
No.
Yuck. Elsewhere, Jen is sorting through the pile of guest swimsuits, brand new with tags, while Joey sits in the corner trying to study and pointedly not responding to Jen's small talk. Joey, go home! How many times do I have to say it?
Yeah,
do you want to study? Go home.
To be here. Why are you even allowed to be here? Don't you have an ice house shift or you're supposed to be watching Alexander? What are you doing?
Yes.
Leave.
Sounding slightly drunk, Jen says she's sorry about Joey and Dawson, even though she knows Joey probably doesn't believe it, and Joey cuts her off to confirm she doesn't. Jen snits at her for making their conversation just as delightful as ever, which, like, I don't know, man, try it when you haven't had half a bottle of Pinot Noir, but she doesn't. Clip 12.
You know, I used to think that it was our mutual feelings for Dawson that kept us apart. I never really considered the fact that maybe you were just a bitch.
Well, maybe you should have.
Yeah. Also, direct this at Dawson. He's the bitch here.
Thank you. Yes. Joey is not a bitch. She's being bitchy at this moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This, however, works, as Joey says she's sorry, but she's sick of talking all the time. And I get it. I am sick of listening. Joey just wants to follow her feelings without talking them into the ground. And doesn't Jen just want to have something left to just experience? Jen does, as much as anyone, she says, and just when you think they're going to lower their purity scores with a same-sex kiss, they just stand there.
My notes were like, why didn't they kiss?
Yeah.
Why? Could have made this whole episode so worthwhile.
There's a vibe.
There's a big vibe.
Outside, Andy's reeling when Pacey finds her on a porch swing. She wants to know why he didn't tell her. Sounding uncharacteristically unconcerned, he shrugs that he doesn't know what he would have said. It's not a joke to Andy, so Pacey changes his attitude. She adds that despite his braggart tendencies, where he's always running himself down, actually, it's not an admirable event. No, it's a trauma he experienced and is not dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
He says it's not fair of Andy to judge him when she doesn't know the circumstances, which it's not, but not for the reasons we keep saying. And Andy doesn't know why Pacey would do it. He says it was for the sex. Yes, there were feelings involved, but that's not why. Andy takes back her question, saying she doesn't actually want to know more. She doesn't think that he is like that, but he says he's a sexual creature, ew, and so is she. And the proof is that they talk about sex all the time. She claims that's all totally innocent. He lectures that sex never is, and he's sorry if it changes the way she feels about him, but he can't change that. Things are going to continue between them. She will have to accept that. She just crosses her arms and stews, so he wanders off. And inside, Chris calls to Jen to come to the hot tub. When he heads out ahead of her, Dawson stops her to say he doesn't think Chris has the best intentions. And Jen's like, a word? He's not trying to see me in a bikini so we can discuss adjustable rate mortgages? I am paraphrasing. Dawson presses that Chris's goal is to sleep with her. And Jen's like, no duh, he's a 16-year-old guy. Dawson looks disturbed that she's okay with that, so Jen has to explain that just because that's what Chris wants doesn't mean it's going to happen. And furthermore, why does Dawson assume Jen doesn't have her own dirty plan? And when she wanders out, Dina appears in a doorway to call Dawson gorgeous. Dina, aim higher. And Dawson, 13.
What are you, hiding the vents?
I hate to give him credit. Good line, delivered well.
Yeah, good line, delivered well. And also, Dina, maybe you clean off those glasses. Just a skosh.
Yeah, because Pacey is also present, and it kind of seems like his relationship is hanging by a thread.
Mm-hmm.
Dina tells the new viewers that Dawson dated both Jen and Joey and asks which is one he had been in love with, per his test answers. Dawson tries to snatch the sheaf of answer sheets away from her, but she runs up the stairs and tells him she has one Dawson might want. Clip 14.
Joey's?
She puts a little smiley face in her O's.
No, she doesn't.
That makes me want to puke.
Thank you. She definitely doesn't. That's not a Joey move.
Of all the characters who have ever been on this show, including one we haven't even met yet, like Harv Presnell's character, more likely to put a little smiley face in his O's than Joey Potter, please.
This made me think it was like a case of mistaken identity that we were going to find out. And like she thought it was Joey's, but it was Andy's, because that's an Andy move.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally.
Dawson tells Dina to give him the test, but she says this toll has a fee. A toll is a fee. And then closes her eyes and leans toward him with puckered lips. Dawson scoffs that it's not going to happen, so Dina sweetens the offer, saying he'll find her last answer interesting. Joey's been in love twice. Out to the hot tub, where Jen is giggling drunkenly and saying they have to study, which, no, that ship has sailed.
That horse has sailed. Totally.
You're in the hot tub, studying's over.
Mm-hmm.
Which is basically what Chris says, kissing her. Jen asks what happens if she doesn't want to fool around. Chris shrugs that they won't. He's not a bad guy. He just wants to have fun, and kisses her again. And they confirm they're on the same page and kiss some more. And leaving aside the whole, how did Joey get this time away from the house? How did Jen get Grams to agree to an all-nighter on a school night?
Yeah.
How is she here?
What?
At the house. Dawson is sadly watching Joey study alone while Andy rushes past Pacey on the porch. When Dawson asks, Pacey says she'll be fine when she's had some time. Dawson asks why Pacey didn't just write no for question 16, but Pacey didn't want to lie to Andy. He just didn't want her to see, I guess. And he asks what Dawson would have done. Dawson likes to think he would have been honest because, of course, that's what he would like to think. But he admits he's had trouble saying a lot of things lately. Pacey tells Dawson to try harder. No, when the person you're trying to talk to has said multiple times she wants space and you should respect it, you should respect it and give her space.
Yeah, go right in your gurnal.
Put it in a new terrible script. That's the next episode. But Dawson just stares at Joey through the window some more and then walks up to bother her. She is at a porch table where she's certainly getting eaten alive by bugs attracted to the light. Instead of inside the comfortable house, because none of these people are serious about studying and it's driving me crazy. Dawson puts on his babyest face and clip 15.
Joey, I thought what we had was special.
Look, I'm serious. I don't want to talk about anything but this.
You wrote that you've been in love twice.
At my test?
No, I've learned my lesson about invading your personal privacy. Chris's little sister was kind enough to impart that information. Joey, you said that I was your world. When did you have time for guy number two? I mean, I refuse to believe that you're shallow to fall in love with Jack after one kiss.
Stop it,
Joey, I just don't understand.
Look, I don't know, okay? Why can't we just go back to the way things were? Why can't we just be friends, Dawson?
Is that really what you want?
Yes!
After everything that we've been through, you just want to go back to being friends?
Yeah!
Joey, if you don't understand why that can't happen, if you don't get that, you don't get me.
Yeah, you're real complicated.
Yeah. This bugged me at the time, and it's just going to bug me now. I'll try not to harp on it, but like, that she's like, I need more space for my art.
Uh-huh.
This is not a thing.
No.
And it puts us also in the position of kind of feeling for Dawson, because she really isn't making any sense. Mm-hmm. And she really did flip from longing for him and making melted wax faces in his direction to being like, not now. I'm grasping my palette. Like, okay.
Right.
Ugh. Like, could we have someone to root for? They're 16.
Yes. I mean, I do get his point. Like, you can't at least on a dime, and at least not when you're in grade 10, like just date and then be like, and now we're friends again and it's fine. Like, that's not how it works. And unfortunately, he's right about this too. It's just like, if you don't get that, you don't get me. Like, that's not just you. That's everybody. Like, that's just how shit is.
But she just lets that silence spread out. Mm-hmm. And I didn't hate it because he was destroyed. Love it.
But they aren't alone, as Dawson learns once Joey has stormed away from him for the most recent time tonight. And clip 16.
Very emotional. Oscar nominating. Really?
Go away.
Dawson, you aren't crying, are you?
Look, you wanted a kiss. Is that what you want? Are you prepared for everything that comes along with that kiss? Because it doesn't just end with a fade out. All right, there are repercussions. Hearts get broken. Friendships get ruined. Your entire life can fall apart because of one kiss, all right? That's what you have to look forward to. So do yourself a big favor. Don't rush it.
So the end of that is Dina starting to cry herself and running away from him past Joey, who looks at Dawson in horror. Correctly, because that's pretty harsh on a little girl who has a crush on you who just met you 3 hours ago.
Yeah. And also it's very badly acted. So
that too. Even more badly acted, Dawson's reaction to this is raking his hands through his hair for 5 minutes. That's when Dawson looks out at the hot tub and sees it's empty and that the light at the guest house, she is off, and he and his giant pants sink onto the step in despair. And then Joey finds Dina moping in bed and asks to hang out with the only sane person in the house. Dina sighs that Dawson's so mean, and Joey says that's how boys express themselves. After tonight, Dina's going to avoid growing up, and Joey thinks that's a great idea. Dina thought Joey would try to convince her it's actually great, but Joey says, no, it sucks, and not all kisses are magic, and most boys don't live up to your expectations. But the times when everything falls together perfectly make growing up worth it, and Dina will be okay, and we never saw her again. Just kidding. She has one more scene. Dawson sits alone at the porch table, feeling so sorry for himself that he actually picks up Joey's book and reads, but we're not sure for how long, because the next time we see him, it's morning. There's a smash cut to him falling asleep with the book on his chest. I thought so, too.
I mean, it was swift, right?
Oh, I didn't notice. Yes, probably.
Yeah, that I was like, relatable. I think I woke up under that one a bunch of times. Mm-hmm. Oh, well.
He runs inside to see almost everyone else passed out around the den. Andy can't believe it's 6 a.m. The test is in 4 hours. Everyone is totally unstudied and totally screwed. Over to the guest house where a naked Jen rolls over in bed to see Chris getting dressed. Her bedhead is so cute. It's so messy and crazy. You can see in the visual aids.
It's amazing. It looks like an infrared photo of a sunspot erupting.
Yes.
Is her hair.
I was thinking like fluffy dandelion. Same vibe.
Yep.
Chris leans down to kiss her, then grab his watch so we can see the two used condom wrappers next to it on the nightstand. Ooh la la. And clip 17.
Thank you.
4.
For a very fun night.
Hang on a sec, I'll get dressed and I'll order downwards.
Oh, no, that's cool. Just take your time. I'll meet you down there.
Okay.
So, yeah, I don't know why he doesn't want them to go down together unless, like, obviously he wants people to think that they slept together, which they did. But I guess he doesn't want her to think, like, oh, we're together now, but whatever.
I mean, I didn't get, like, in this scene, it does seem like she thought maybe it was going that direction. Mm-hmm. I mean, credit to Michelle Williams, who sort of like plays it ambiguous enough that it can still work, because, you know, in the next episode it's like, I don't think she cares. Mm-mm. Either way, so
no,
well done for her, I guess. But yeah, he's being weird.
Her reaction to me was like, oh fuck, what did I do? Like, I didn't think this through. And like, the spirit of the girl who told Dawson she might have her own sexual agenda is like much cooler than what we get here, but that's not the agenda they have, so whatever.
Mm-mm. Right.
Back in the dining room, Pacey's giving everyone a pep talk to make up for all the time they wasted. His version of Andy's plan will fit everything they need to cram into 3 hours and 45 minutes. I could do without him shushing Andy, since they wouldn't be in this situation if they had listened to her in the first place. but this is the midterm. I refuse to believe they covered Beowulf, Canterbury Tales, Hamlet, Gulliver's Travel, and Wuthering Heights in half a semester. That's too much for high school.
Mm-hmm. You're on like one book.
Right. For weeks. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It is, however, cute to see them taking turns reciting the big Hamlet monologue in their sunglasses with their feet in the pool, as we all love to do in Massachusetts in November.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
They finish Pacey's plan, and he orders one last group activity, leaping into the pool. Originally, this moment was set to Nobody But Me by Save Ferris, and the way I can tell the song on the DVD is not the original is this line, clip 18. Fuck that shit, I ain't going to. That was never on the WB.
Did not even clock that. Nice.
That is something called Too Cool with a K for School with an SK, and obviously two and four are digits by The Salads. Mm. You don't win friends with them. And as everyone gets out of the pool soaking wet, Andy's just about done being mad at Pacey because her mom was right. She is quite taken with him. Clip 19.
You realize your control on there. You have an interesting way of doing that.
Yeah, well, I perform well under pressure.
I want to explain something to you.
We really don't have to talk about this, Andy.
I do, Pacey. I mean, I'm the queen of keeping dirty secrets, so I understand why you didn't jump forward with the information. I think I was just more shocked by the idea that you have so much experience, and I...
Will.
Damn you, Berlanti!
Perfect thing to say. Perfect guy to say it.
Perfectly said. I'm mad at how much that line works on me.
I am in the middle of rewatching Everwood, and mm-hmm. believe me, like sometimes you're just like, why? I mean, you see what's about to happen.
Yeah.
The only thing you could do is just go get a Kleenex, because you can't. It's coming for you.
Yep.
Damn you, Berlanti.
He's like a wizard. It's sick. Mm-hmm. Mm. Andy huffs that Pacey is a jerk, and they do some flirty bickering up to the house, ending by saying they love to hate each other and kiss. And Dawson finds Joey in the laundry room. I guess they finished their cram early because drying soaking wet clothes and getting to school for an exam takes longer than 10 minutes. Mega day. Anyway, clip 20.
Can we talk? Sure.
That was almost the intro. I love that when I clip that, the huff was as big on the waveform as her sure. Like, sure.
Oh, my God.
Very relatable. I mean,
read The Gift of Fear, please, Joey.
My God, how many times do we put that in recaps?
If you make them ask 101 times.
So he trails Joey into the kitchen, starting by ordering her not to talk. All he's been thinking about lately is how much he wishes he could take back their first kiss, because maybe they would still be best friends, or at the very least, he wouldn't be hurting like this. I agree, it should not have happened, but he's not done. Clip 21.
But then I think about everything that kiss brought into my life. What it was like to look at you and know not just what you were thinking, but also what you were feeling, because I was feeling the same thing. And then it's all worth it. It's worth all the pain that I'm going through. See, I want to regret kissing you, Joey, but I can't. It was the smartest decision I ever made.
Dawson, two times I fell in love on the test. They were both you.
Don't give him that.
No.
No.
Also, what 16-year-olds talk about this kind of thing? Like, it's like, well, yeah, we got divorced, but we had you. They're 16.
Yes. And the way he acts like the first time they kissed, it gave them, like, Corsican brothers powers. Like, no, you can't feel what she's feeling just because you kissed. Like, what are you talking about?
Oh, my God. Writer's room, just dial it back. Good Lord.
She unfortunately explains the first time she fell in love was with the Dawson she grew up with, and the second time was the person he became after they kissed. Again, stop acting like it was transformative. It's not. The fact that they aren't together doesn't change her feelings for Dawson. She's not sure about her, not him. Dawson is finally going to give her the space she asked for and quit being shitty about it, but his feelings for her haven't changed either. And then in the next room, Dawson sees Dina asleep on a couch and kisses her on the temple. She doesn't react until he has left and then looks giddy. And we never saw her again. Everyone goes to school to find another note from Peterson. Sometimes preparation teaches you more than the exam itself. He's still sick. The test is off for now. Andy guesses they should go to their other classes, but Pacey has one more group activity, which is going to sleep on the Minuteman in the middle of the football field. Guys, if you're going to do that, go sleep at home. These people aren't serious about anything. Boo! Learn how to nap. Anyway, that's the end. Let's name the episode MVP. Sarah.
Well, first I will note that a true professional can nap anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I saw no issues with it.
Okay, fine.
Didn't look all that comfortable, though.
No, it didn't. It looked really stiff, that grass.
Yeah. MVP. Ugh. Pacey, I guess. Because he managed that situation. He took control of the cramorama.
Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't an asshole. Like, I mean, this is going to be like Pacey was the least offensive of everybody. Like, this is how the scoring is going to go a lot on this podcast. It's like Pacey was great and everybody else kind of race for the bottom.
Right. I'd love to give this to Dina for the energy she brought to drip appropriate. But as we saw, she did not stay there. So I'm going to give it to Mr. Peterson, who just really fucked with these children and they deserve it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Least valuable player. Chris, because he just is a skeeve. I don't like that guy. He gives me bad vibes.
Dawson, who in his own way is the nice guy, Skeeve. And no, she told you to fuck off. Go there. Next time on Again With This, Jen's downward curly cue continues. The Boston Film Festival's grave error in judgment creates problems for Joey's boundaries with Dawson. And there's really a lot of flapping of arms and flaring of nostrils, which, let's face it, might be how you respond to our visual aids. You can find crucial snapshots from this and every other episode of the podcast at againwiththispodcast.com. And since we have been doing the pod since Roosevelt was in the White House, we have a massive archive of episodes for this, 90210, and Melrose. If your RSS feed on Apple Pods or wherever else is cutting off the complete list, we have a solution. The whole stash is at againwiththispodcast.com/subscribe. I'm midfield snoozer Sarah D. Bunting, and I'm on Blue Sky at Sarah D. Bunting. My co-host is Cram Session QB Tara Ariano, and she's on Blue Sky at Tara Ariano. And maybe our producer, David T. Cole, should hit that hot tub, chill out a little bit. Talk to you next time.
Sorry, no can do.
Wow, Shakespeare is going to be so happy to find out he's been endorsed by fucking Dawson.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.